watch our service tonight. That's all that happens here tonight.
Amen. Amen.
You preach, you tell them what happened to that up here at Mother Defendant's Church, that guy.
Praise the Lord.
He came out there before. The one who got saved.
You may be seated.
That Mother Defendant's Church. Told me last night somebody got saved up there Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. You remember a guy named
Holden,
what's Holden's last name? Holden Sexton. Do you remember his dad's name? Nick?
Yeah.
Nick Sexton walked into Seneca Falls Baptist Church, what was it, Sunday, as you said, and announced that he and his girlfriend with two kids just got saved. Praise the Lord, and just walked in there rejoicing. And he says he heard the gospel, or he was at Good Samaritan Baptist Church and heard that again. So praise the Lord, we appreciate him.
Well, you know that if he was a Good Samaritan Baptist Church, you know he heard the gospel, praise amen. The he heard the truth, and that's always good to know. Sometimes you get in churches and you wonder. You wonder what's being taught, amen. And I've heard some hairball things, brother, over the years, and I'm sure I know you have too, amen. And sometimes I just begin to wonder about some guys that are called to preach and wonder what they're doing. You know what always amazed me is I've had guys say this before, and I've heard this said. After 2 or 3 years, they said, I don't have anything else to preach. So what? I can't understand that. You can't exhaust the Word of God. Amen. You can't do it. I mean, you know, I just go back and preach something else from before. I don't care. But contrary, Brother Dave, to popular belief, this is a new message tonight. I just rolled it today. Amen. So, wow. Yeah. No, I expected to hear, wow.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So, praise the Lord. But I do get married now and then, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And I told Pastor I was going to do that to you this evening. I know we can have fun, amen. We can do it. This church, I can say a lot of things in this church, Pastor, that I can't say in some other churches, amen. And I'm glad I can do that. I feel free when I come here. I feel freedom to preach and feel freedom to just joke around, have a good time, and to laugh with you, amen. And now, if you turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms and the 14th Psalm, the book of Psalms and the 14th Psalm. I started working on another message, Pastor, that I had in my mind until I sat down in here this afternoon when you were out knocking on some doors over here, and I put this one together because God just kept on bringing me back to this thought about this man in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. Now, that you would think that someone to make a statement like that, I don't know. See, I always believe myself. I always believed there was a God. I didn't know who he was. I remember asking my mother when I was probably six or seven, something like that. I can remember asking my mom, who is God? And she said, well, God is God, you know. And I said, well, where did he come from? I don't know, God is God. That's the only answers I could ever get out of my mother about who is God. You know, that's how she explained it to me. And we attended a little Bible church back then when I was a kid. And I remember them talking. I remember the preacher talking about Jesus Christ and he was brethren. So when I got baptized, I wasn't saved, but they dunked me. Their baptism was dunking you three times, and some of them dunked you three times forward, and some in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They would dunk you three times. They wanted to make sure you were good and clean. That's what I thought, you know. And it brought me into the church, but I wasn't saved. My brother got baptized. He wasn't saved. We didn't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I knew there was a God. I never said in my life, there is no God. I could never say that. But I had a friend who's on his deathbed right now, or close to his deathbed, and he said for years, I'm an atheist. That's what he would say. I'm an atheist. And but now his brother became a preacher years later, or got saved years later, and attended a good church evidently, because his brother began witnessing to him. And he used to get mad at his brother, but before his brother passed away, his brother showed him how to be saved. And after his brother passed away, I think after his brother passed away, he got saved by the grace of God. Now he is a believer. He's no longer an atheist. An atheist is saying, I don't believe there is a God. Now let me just share a couple of thoughts with you as we look into this. We're going to talk about a few of these things yet tonight. In verse 1 again, beginning of this, says, the fool has said in his heart, let me just stop right there. Fool has said in his heart. Number one, if you're thinking about this, think about this. He listens to his own heart. That's all he's listening to. Not listening to you, not listening to anybody else. He's listening to himself. Now, what is interesting about this is when you look into this text, the fool here in this idea is the word in the pastor, and you can correct me, but I looked it up. The word in the Hebrew is NAW-BAWL, and that is the same word that is used for. Remember Abigail's husband?
Yeah.
Remember what was his name?
Nabal.
Same word. Nabal. Go with me just for a moment over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we're going to be back in Psalms, so don't lose your place there. But go to 1 Samuel in your Bible in chapter 25. And just look at this with me, this thought here. Here's Nabal. And then I'm going to give you a definition for this word real quick. And see if this does not fit this man here in the text. In fact, his wife makes a statement that it fits him very well. Amen. But in verse 25 of this text, it says this, let not my Lord, now this is her speaking, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial. Wow. She calls her husband a man of Belial. And watch, even Nabal, for as his name is, what? So is he. His name explains who he is. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And this word in the scripture, in the Hebrew, means this. It means stupid. First definition. Then it means wicked. Boy, he was a wicked man. He was stupid. And he was wicked. Amen. And the Bible says also that it's the idea of a vile individual, a vile person. It comes from a few other words that it's connected to. Also in the scripture, it means many of the same things. Someone who is immoral, someone who is not right, someone who is ungodly. Look at the Psalm with me and go back to Psalm chapter 14. And probably it might be the page before you, but I'm on the same page of mine as chapter 12. Look at chapter 12 and look at beginning of verse 1. The Bible says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of man. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said with our tongue, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Well, this is an individual that is wicked and ungodly and impure. I was reading this illustration. I don't know, Pastor, if you read much about J. Vernon McGee, but he had an illustration in his book on a thought in this text. He says, I had a friend. He said he was a very intelligent man. And he said that he was amongst a group of men one day, and a man was standing there that was an atheist. And he said, I don't believe there is a God. That's what the man said. Amongst all these other people, I don't believe that there is a God. Man doesn't have a soul, and when he dies like a dog. Wow. This man went on raving like a madman, he said. My friend waited until the group began to break up, and then he approached this man. You notice he didn't scream at him in front of all these other people. But he waited, it broke, and then he approached the man. And he said, I understand you said that you are an atheist. Upon hearing these words, the man launched into another tirade about his belief that there is no God. And my friend said to him, I would like to ask you a question. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The word fool means insane or mad. Either you are not sincere when you talked about God as you did, and you were just talking for the benefit of the crowd, or you are a fool and a madman. I would like to know which one it is. He said, the man turned and walked away from him. Sometimes people just need to be cornered, amen. The man is a fool, he says about this man. And you know, it's interesting to me that there's many people in our country, many people in our world, that listen to their own heart's counsel rather than take the counsel of the Word. Now, you heard me say the other night that sometimes people just refuse the counsel of the Word of God because they don't, number one, they don't want to change. Number two, they don't like what they're going to hear because they know what they are going to hear. Amen. You know what's interesting, Pastor, to me, I don't beat this issue up sometimes, but you know, before I got saved, I had long hair, and I don't know, I just something about that, and maybe it's because I got saved and I got my hair cut, and this is what happened. I'm just saying, you know, but I just don't like long hair. And then I found in Corinthians where it says it's a shame for men to have long hair. And I take that literal. I just, literally, you know. And so I think it's a shame if a man has long hair. But someone who has long hair and you tell them that, their first thought is they will, if you tell them they got long hair and they need to get a cut, they're going to buck up against that. When I was first saved, we had a, Dave, could you hand me that water in the second seat right there? When I was first saved, my wife and I were attending a little Bible church, and that's where I was baptized in a Bible church. I probably shouldn't say that because I got some Baptist brothers that are more happy now. Amen. I made a statement online. Too bad. Too late. Amen. So, but I was baptized in a little Bible church, and then my wife and I went to attend a church where she grew up. Little country Baptist church. More preachers came out of that little Baptist church, Pastor. You wouldn't believe it. How many people came out of that church that went into full-time service for the Lord. And that pastor now is in a nursing home. I just went to visit him last week, or two weeks ago, went to visit with him. And man, and he loves to play the guitar. Man, did we have a good time talking about the past, amen. But he'll never get out of the nursing home. He's got dementia. But he was pretty fairly clear-headed that day. Anyway, we went to attend that church. The first time I walked in there, there was a little lady, Deb, I think she was shorter than you. I know that's almost impossible, but she was shorter than you, I believe. And she had this hairdo up here, you know. And she walks up to me, and she looks up at me. Now, she knew my wife, because my wife grew up there. And she knew my wife, but she looks at me, and she goes, "You need a haircut." And the first thought that came to my mind was, you need to mind your own stinking business, amen. I bucked up against it. I didn't say anything, but I fought it. I bucked up against it because I didn't know. I didn't understand. Now, maybe if she would have taken me to the Word of God and showed me, it might have been a difference. But to the pastor, he wasn't making any big issue about any of that stuff. He never told me I had to cut my hair. He never told me anything else. He just wanted us to come to church and get involved. Amen. And we came to church, and all of a sudden I read the book of Corinthians, and all of a sudden there it came. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. And I went out the next day and cut my hair. I got some pictures I can show you. Not just that one on that track. But after I was saved, and my wife and I were first married, and I had hair that some women envied. I am not kidding you, because it was wavy. And then I looked one time, it looked like I had an afro. It was way out like this, all fuzzy, you know, because I washed it. My hair was something. I'm not kidding you. I'd always had a receding hairline, but I had hair. I'm just telling you, my friend. You can believe that, amen. I had hair. That was not a wig on that picture back there, amen. That was real hair. It was really on my head. And when I understood that, it changed me. You can buck up. People buck up. They get the counsel to their own heart and drink. You would not believe how many Christians today that I have run into today, more than ever in my life, Pastor, that will say, that's my business, and I believe I can drink a little wine, or I believe that I can socially drink without getting drunk. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you do with it. It's still wicked, always has been wicked, and will always be wicked. It's ungodly. It's not what God wants for you. It's not what God wants for me. He condemns it all through the Old Testament. And then somebody says, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. You better study the Word of God, amen, and find out what that word wine there means and take it to other places of Scripture. Because listen to me. God will never condemn something in one place and then condone it in another. It doesn't happen. Let's listen to what the Word of God says. That's our counsel. Don't listen to your own heart. Don't listen to what you think is right. Don't listen to those things. You just do it. You can go. You could smoke. You could smoke that you shouldn't. Amen. You shouldn't. You say, well, Brother Mike, it doesn't say in the Bible you shouldn't smoke. Well, it says the smoker sendeth up from hell. So, I mean, maybe that would work. But, you know, well, I'm just simply saying, my friend, listen to me. You could, but you shouldn't. Because why? It's not good for you. And why? Because it's not right. Because it influences other people to do the same thing. We ought to stop that stuff. Amen. I can remember the pastor coming to me, Pastor Don Bennett, the same pastor, came to me one time to my house and visiting me. And I knew I shouldn't smoke. And so I took my cigarette and I put it out in the ashtray and took the ashtray off and stuck it underneath the table on the chair up against the wall like that. And he's sitting there talking to me the whole time and smoke's curling up behind that table. And he never said one word. And then he was sort of blind to certain things, brother. I'm not kidding you, because he was just full of love. He's just full of love. And he's sitting there, he's talking to me. He said, Mike, he said, I'd like you to teach a Sunday school class. And I wouldn't tell him I was smoking. Amen. And he said, would you teach a Sunday school class? I said, well, Pastor, you know, I need you to teach a Sunday school class. I said, okay. He said, the Sunday school class is a class of 4th, 5th, and 6th grade girls. The classroom's down in the basement of the church, brother. There's other classrooms down there. But before about 2 hours later that night, he called me on the phone. He says, Mike, because he went back and he told my brother-in-law, who was a Sunday school superintendent at that time. He said, I asked Mike if he'd teach Sunday school. My brother-in-law's name is Mike also. He said, but I asked Mike if he'd teach Sunday school class, and he said he would do it. And Mike looks at me and says, well, Pastor, do you know he smokes? He said, no. So he called me on the phone about 2 hours later. He said, now, Mike, listen, I know you smoke. Mike told me you smoke. I said, yeah, okay, I smoke. He said, hey, but I didn't want to quit. Amen. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you would teach that class for 2 weeks, and if you can't quit smoking, you come and you tell me and be honest with me. He said, if you do that, I'll let you teach that class. I'd quit that next day. Amen. And I haven't had a desire for one ever since. But I bucked up against it to start with. I didn't want to quit smoking. I smoked for about a year and a half or so after I was saved. I didn't want to quit smoking. That was mine. Amen. I owned that. I owned that. That was my counsel to me. How dare you tell me I can't? How dare you tell me I should? Amen. But boy, I tell you, when it came time to serve God and he told me that, they went. That was it, man. I'm just telling you. Don't take counsel from your heart. Take counsel from the Word of God. I've learned a long time ago when I'm dealing with people, Pastor, is that when they start asking me questions, I say, well, what's the Bible say? And I'll go to the Bible, and I might open it up, and I'll even sometimes turn it their way and say, what's it say here? In fact, when I'm taking them through the Roman road a lot of times, I had them read the scripture. And I explain it as they're reading the scripture. I say, what's the Bible say? And they'll say, I said, well, listen, is this what it's saying here? You know, is this what that verse is saying? Well, yeah, that's what it's saying. And I explain it, amen. And I think that's a wise way to do it. Same way when people say, and they buck up, and they say, no, I don't want to do that. You can't tell. Don't tell me how to live. Man, I'm so sick of hearing that, amen. Don't tell me how to live. Because that was my mentality at one time. Well, he listens to his own heart, amen. Just like Nabal did. Nabal listened to his own heart. Man, I tell you, what counsel he took of his own heart was wicked and ungodly. And what did it do? It ended up costing what? Costing him his life. Amen. Costing him his life. Now, number two, watch what he says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He leaves God out of the equation. 100% completely out of the equation. Psalm chapter 10 verse 4 says this: the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Watch. God is not in all his what? Thoughts. He doesn't think about God. That's the wicked. That's the world. We were up at the restaurant this morning or this afternoon for a light lunch. It wasn't really that light, amen, preacher, but boy, I tell you, I was ready to take a nap after I ate Miss Bev's spaghetti and meat sausage. It was good stuff tonight, amen. If you put a little bit of meat sauce on top of your head, your tongue will let your brains out trying to get to it, amen. I'm telling you. They leave God out. And we were talking to the waitress and invited her out. And one of those waiting guys invited her out to the meeting. She says, what's an evangelist? I said, well, have you ever seen Billy Graham on television? No. She didn't know who Billy Graham was. Almost everybody knows who Billy Graham is, amen. But almost everybody doesn't watch regular television anymore. They watch all this other stuff on, you know, that don't have commercials and things most of the time. So, possibility, maybe she, you know. And then we say this through Thursday. It's going to be Tuesday tonight through Friday night. And she says, you say party night? No. Well, party. I like parties, you know. Like, you know, we were going back and forth laughing and just kept on. Hopefully, I think we got the message across finally, Pastor. Amen. I don't know. Maybe. But she took a track. She took a track from the church. And she took one of mine. And I gave her another one. And she said, I'm going to blow this up and put it, I guess, on a bulletin board over there. You know, so praise the Lord. Pastor didn't have any more flyers with him. We should have come back, got the one that was crumpled up in the parking lot, and took it back to her, Pastor. I don't know. Just saying. But he leaves God out. He doesn't want anything to do with God. He doesn't know anything about God. God is not even in his thoughts. You talk to him about God, and I got this to do, and I got that to do, and this is coming up. And he doesn't want to hear about it. Does not want to hear anything about God. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2 says this. Isaiah says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. After their own thoughts. Now, that's not just the world. And I tell you this, Christians sometimes walk after their own thoughts. Not after the worldly things. Not ungodly. Sometimes not even wicked things. Sometimes just after their own thoughts, you know. And you could say, well, you know, I got so much to do here, and I think that if I just I think if I just stay home, I can get this accomplished, I can get this finished, and I can get this done, and I'm not going to have time this next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if I could just do it now, you know. And so there goes church. There goes visitation. There goes something else. You know, there goes personal time with God. There goes your Bible reading. There goes your prayer life. There goes it just because we fill it with so many other things. Amen. Been there, done that. Just telling you, been there, done that. Amen. And I determined to do better. But can I be honest? I don't always do better, Pastor. I still catch myself thinking that if I could just do it this way, it'd be so much better for me. My wife reminded me about a truck I bought one time. she was going to buy that car the other night, and she said she decided no because it's a whole thing. I wouldn't even go into it. And but I admire her for the decision she made. And I told her that, you know. And it got awful quiet on the phone because I don't tell her this stuff very often, amen. But I love my wife. She's a very smart lady. Very, very intelligent. Smarter than I am, amen. I know you understand that. You've met my wife. You know that, you know, that she's smarter than I am. And in fact, she's the one that I write these messages, get these messages from. I write them down, and she tells them to me all the time, you know. But I remember one time she says, I didn't want this to become the red truck. She said, oh, here it goes, the red truck. Every time, I always got to come back to the red stinking truck, you know. And so it always reminds me of that, you know. It's like, well, you know, when you were young, yeah, well, when I was young, I wasn't saved. I expect more of my stupid children, amen. So hey, anyway, the red truck. I saw this truck for sale. My truck, the engine, the crankshaft had bad bearings in it, and it would move back and forth, that crankshaft. I threw off a fan belt every 150, 200 miles. I carried extra fan belts in the back of my truck to put on that thing. I kept on blowing rockers on one side of it, and kept on having to take, I got where I could do it in 20 minutes alongside the road. Change a rocker, amen. And I carried extra one of those, carried extra springs with me just for that reason, you know. And the truck I had, and it was falling apart. You'd step on the brakes, you'd feel the cab shift because all the cab mounts are rusted out. I mean, the truck was, and I'm pulling a 40-foot fifth wheel trailer, weighs 16,000 pounds with that thing. I said, I got to get something else. And I saw this truck advertised by a born again believer that said $12,000, and it was a 1993 Dodge, I believe. And this thing was a stretched cab. They cut the cab behind a cab and a half truck, a cab and a quarter cab and a half, you know what I'm talking about? You said a little back seat in them. They cut that cab right there behind that seat, and they pulled that seat out, and they put a 54-inch sleeper cab in there. You know, that thing, it took a country mile to turn around. I think I had it out here. I can't remember if I ever did or not, Pastor. But right before I bought that semi, you know. And that thing, it would take forever to turn. And my wife said this to me. I told her I was going to go down and buy that truck. She said, did you pray about it? I said, no. I said, yeah. She said, really? I said, yeah. But my prayer was like this, Lord, I really want that truck. So I bought the truck, and that truck was anathema. I am not kidding you. $10,000 for another engine. Three transmissions. You see where I'm coming from here? You know what? I didn't consider God. I didn't consider him in my thoughts. I didn't consider him, and I left him out of the equation. Born-again believers can leave God out of the equation. We don't. Well, I see that in marriages. Young people, you know, young people, now married here, amen. You know, well, she looks like your daughter, but I'm just saying, you know, old and young, and just, I'm trying to get on your good side, sister, amen. So, you know, you get the, you think about this. I watch young people, and they're so mesmerized with each other, and they want to get married. And God's not in the equation. Have you prayed about it? Well, yeah. Lord, I really want to marry her. And what happens 4 or 5 years down the road? Sometimes what happens in 3 or 4 weeks, and they're no longer together. I've seen that time and time and time again because God is left out. Let's not leave God out. Their decisions are not affected by God, but rather their feeling, or directed by God, but rather their feelings. Feelings of greed, deception, because of a wicked heart. How sad the world has become, and truly how sad some believers have become. Even though they might not be wicked, they're leaving God out. Let's not leave God out. Let's not be foolish. Amen. I would never say that we have fools in this room. I never say that you're a fool, but let's not be foolish. Let's not leave God out. Let's listen to him and not to our own heart, because it will destroy it. Then we see he looks to corruption. Not just he listens to his own heart and leaves God out, but he looks to corruption. Look what he says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are what? Corrupt. They are corrupt. And it's interesting to me, that word for corrupt there is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I wouldn't get it right if I did. And pastor would laugh at me, and he's going to laugh anyway, but it's the beginning is Shaw, S-H-A-W, and then the ending is K-H-A-T-H. How would you pronounce that, Pastor? Cough, 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 cough. Well, that's almost like, see, what were you singing tonight? A when? Gwen? And I want to say Gwen. Gwen, you know? See, yeah. Yeah, so, but the word means this. Here's what the word means for that word corrupt. It means to decay. It means to ruin, literally and figuratively. It means to batter. It means to cast off, to destroy, to loose, to perish, to spill, and the spoiler or the waster of the waster. Man, corrupt. He said, watch, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are wicked. They are ungodly. They cause decay. They cause destruction. And, you know, I've even seen that in born-again believers' lives. They bring destruction to their own families, to their own churches, to their own relationships. I've seen it. Pastor, you know as well as I do, and I don't come up to preach against preachers, but I've seen preachers do that over the years, and it breaks my heart. I don't laugh at them, and I don't make fun of them, and I don't condemn them. It breaks my heart when I see pastors go that direction, and that. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. It would be easy for any one of us to go that direction, including a preacher, if we don't allow God to rule our thoughts. We become very, very, very foolish. Look at Psalm chapter 36 with me. Psalm chapter 36. Over in Psalm in chapter 36. We read, what was that psalm we read this morning, Pastor? I can't remember. It was over there somewhere, wasn't it? Yeah, it's over there somewhere. I know that. Look at Psalm 36. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Listen to that one more time. The transgression of the wicked, that's Psalm 36:1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. He don't care. He's not afraid. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. I had a grandson that just made a statement to another grandson of mine, and he's joking around with it, but this guy, you know, he's over 6 foot now, and he's only like 15 years, six, maybe 16 now, I think. And he's up there, I see him with a muscle shirt on, going like this in a picture this morning, Pastor. He's going like, and this guy's got some beef. And he's telling my other grandson, who's 18 and 6 foot three and a half or 6 foot four, he's telling him I'm not really afraid of Grandpa anymore. And I said, I think you just need to tell him that Grandpa can still kick a scrawny rear end, amen. So he could handle me, I think. But, see, here's what they don't understand, Pastor. They don't realize, and they know I was in prison, but they don't realize how I can hurt them. I told my one grandson, I'd put you on the ground in a second. He said, go ahead and hit me. I said, I don't have to hit you. I said, you won't want to get up when I'm done. This is for me to tell you that way, you know. You say, what would you do to him? I'm not going to tell you. You don't need to know, amen. I got my tricks. I fought. I know what it's like, amen. But he says, here again, they say that to them they have no fear of God. No fear. He's corrupt. No fear of God. Look at Psalm 73. Go to Psalm chapter 73 with me just for a moment. Psalm 73. And over in the 73rd, let me get myself over there. That's a long way back, amen, just a few pages, but I was going way too far. And then come back to Psalm 119 from the end of the chapter all the way backward one page at a time. It takes you a while, amen. Psalm 73, and look at verse 3 through verse 12. He said, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He said, I was envious of them. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, let me stop. Sometimes Christians are envious of those who are not saved, because those who are not saved, who are not living right and who are living ungodly, seem to do better sometimes than those who are living right and living godly. Amen? So, watch what he says. "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." They're not afraid. There's nothing holding them. There's nothing. Boy, I tell you, watch. "They are not in trouble as other men." Whoa. "I'm envious of that," he says. "Neither are they plagued like other men." Man, they're getting away with everything. And nothing stopping them. "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." That's their life. They are violent. They are vile. They are wicked. They are ungodly. And their pride just covers them. It just covers them all over. "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish." Wow. They have way above and beyond anything that they really ever would need to survive. "They are corrupt." There's that word again. "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." He said, I'm envious of that. And sometimes born-again believers become envious of those who are in the world who are living wicked. Somebody said, that man is so wicked and so vile. How come God has not killed him? And this Christian over here was only 19 years old and ready to go into the ministry and serve God and following God and obeying God. And he had a car wreck. I know that happened to a kid up in Maine. Had a car wreck and killed him instantly. How come God would let that man over there who's wicked and ungodly survive? That's where, and our thoughts go there. Well, maybe some believers, don't let this be you, but maybe if I just quit going to church, and if I just get another job, if I just start saving all my money, maybe I would be all right too. That's how we think. Don't let that influence you. That's foolishness. That's where the fool is at. That's how he is. Don't be like him. You are different than him. You are saved by the very grace of God. Well, I tell you what, he will take care of you. Just read the book, amen. Read it. You only got about an inch and a half there. Read it. And if you got a Bible like Pastor's, only about that big, you know, only about a quarter. I'm just kidding, brother, amen. That's the soul winning New Testament. Hallelujah. I like them too. I got them. All right, now watch. We're almost done. He said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Abominable works. He lives in wickedness. That's what the fool does. Lives in wickedness. I've heard some things in churches sometimes by Christians that make me question if they're really a Christian because of the wicked things I've heard being said. It makes me question if they really know Jesus Christ in a personal way. But this man here lives in wickedness. Proverbs 11:1 says this, A false balance is, here's an abomination to the Lord. A false balance, otherwise someone who is not honest in their dealings. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So a false balance, someone who just takes advantage. Let's be right. Let's do right. Let's act right. Let's behave right. Let's do what we know we ought to do as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be honest. In chapter 12 of Proverbs and verse 22, he says, lying lips are an abomination. A false balance is an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips. Let's not be a liar. Let's be honest. The world is a liar. The world lies all the time. The devil's a liar and the father of it. Amen. Let's be honest as believers in Jesus Christ. He said, but they that deal truly are his delight. He's pleased and happy. And when you live right and you do right and you talk right and you act right and you're right in your dealings, and boy, and you and your lips aren't lying, that, it, you know, it's easy to lie. Amen. And see, let's not lie. Let's be honest. Okay, you know, the closest people to you might not recognize the lie. But you know who will recognize it? Those who aren't saved sometimes. They recognize it. They see it. You know why? Because that's how they live. That's how they are. That's their lifestyle. Don't be that way. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27 says, watch this one. Not only a false balance, not only lying lips, but he says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? He said, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. What does that mean? It's not going to do them any good. They're wicked. They're not bringing the sacrifice to confess their sin and to get things right with God. They're bringing their sacrifices to show before the people. That's what they're doing, Pastor. Just to show before the people. Amen. I remember when I was first saved, and my brother started coming to church, and my brother got saved. In fact, even before he was saved, he was sitting next to me on a Sunday morning. My wife would be on one side, he'd be on the other. And then his wife, and we'd be sitting there, and I would, when I wrote my tithe check out for the church, I would take my hand, I would turn it so he could see what I was writing, and then he would write his out always for more than what I gave. That was wicked. You understand? That was not pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And boy, and I wasn't even really tithing then. I was just giving a little bit, brother. You know. Boy, when God got a hold of my toe, then I started tithing right. Amen. when he ended one thing, he gave me another. I just started tithing. Do what I not need to do. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Watch this one. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. You turn away from listening to the Word of God, and you can pray. People want to know why their prayers aren't answered. You know why, Brother Dave? Because they're not living with the Word of God. They say, well, I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayers. He answers yours. How come? I'm a Christian. I go to church. I give my money. I do this. I do that. I sing. I play the piano. Or I live, and they say, why God is blessing you and God's not blessing me? I had a friend one time that when somebody gave me something, and he made the statement to me, he says, how do you do that? He was in a ministry too. But how do you do that? I said, I don't do it. God does it. Amen. That was God. It was all God. But I see somebody give him a car, and I wanted to say to him, how do you do that? And I didn't. I didn't do it. Amen. I wanted to, Titus chapter 1, verse 14. We don't leave the New Testament out. Amen. But what's this one? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Let's not give heed to things that turn us from the truth. Because what will happen? They'll keep us from hearing the law or the truth of the Word of God. And then he says, your prayer will be an abomination. Well, I tell you what. I don't know about you, but there have been too many times in my Christian life where I have been a very, very foolish individual. Not a fool, because I believe there's a God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But boy, I have made some foolish decisions as a child of God, because I listened to my own counsel, my own heart, rather than listen to "Thus saith the Lord." We ought to come back to this book. Spend time in this. This will help. Let's not be foolish. Let's not be like this fool, amen. I'm not saying you're a fool. I'm saying let's not be like this fool. Let's be honest, upright, godly people. And whatever's going on in the world, it will continue to go on in the world until the day Jesus comes back. Let's you and I come up with the Lord just to live right and to do right and to the best of our ability be what God would have us to be, that we might not be like this foolish man here, like this fool here. Let's not be foolish. Let's continue to serve God righteously and with a pure heart. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions again tonight. Two questions. Has there been a time in your life when you have come to Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive you for your sin and to save you by His grace? If you have done that, I say praise the Lord. But if you haven't, I'd like to pray for you if I could. Is there anybody here tonight with an upraised hand and say, "Mike, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I've done that. I'd like to do it, but I'm not sure." I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Brother Mike, would you pray for me tonight that I would not listen to my own heart's counsel, because I would take my counsel from the Lord? How about right now? Slip up your hand. That you tonight? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Just I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Okay. When I'm done praying, in fact, let's just stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. When I'm done praying, just remain with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Father, I thank you for these tonight who slipped up their hand, Father. You know their heart again. God, I pray that you help them this evening, Father. We don't want to be foolish like this individual in the Scripture, Father. He is a fool. He does not believe in you. We believe in you, Lord. But help us to keep us, help us to stay away from things that will hurt our relationship with you and our testimony for you, that you would be honored and glorified tonight. Be with these and raise your hand now. Strengthen them, Father. Wrap your loving arms around them, Father, and help them to be what you would have them to be. We'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, the Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip on and come?
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. 496 in our hymnal. third verse says, "All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine." 496, let's sing that third verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Father, praise you and thank you for surrender. Thank you again, Father, that you've taken us from a place of rebellion, of us being stiff-necked, and Father, caused again that we have a heart of surrender, that we might again present ourselves a sacrifice. Father, we'll praise you again and thank you for your touch on each heart here tonight. Go with us now into the night. Bring us back at the appointed time, and we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Lord, bless you.